The following audiobooks contain AI-generated content and may contain errors. This audiobook narration presents The Deep Archive. The silence 300 feet below the surface of the earth was not an absence of sound, but a weighted, heavy presence. David sat at his workstation in the heart of the Ethelgard Archive, his fingers hovering over a glass console that glowed with the cool blue light of 1,000 monitoring points. It was 3 in the afternoon. The hour when the facility's subterranean hum reached its most stable equilibrium. For 15 years, David had served as lead archivist, treating the vault's integrity as a mathematical constant. His life was defined by the rows of climate-controlled pedestals stretching into the dark, and his relationship with Director Sarah was one of mutual professional reliance. She required flawless logs. He required the comfort of absolute order. The Ethelgard Archive was a vault of history that kept the world at bay, holding remnants of civilization within bedrock that had remained undisturbed for millennia. But as David reviewed the afternoon audit, he felt a prickle of static along his hairline. He moved through the sub-level manifests, verifying the status of each artifact, until he reached Chamber 74 Alpha. The sensor logs displayed a clean, unbroken line, no pressure fluctuations, no motion detected, no thermal anomalies. Yet the pedestal sitting at the center of the chamber was empty. The artifact, a delicate iron cipher from the 14th century, was gone. David pulled the logs again, his heartbeat steady, but his focus narrowing to a sharp point of irritation. He checked the entry point, then the peripheral sensors. Zero entry, zero exit. A machine could not lie, and yet the evidence of his own eyes contradicted every line of data on his screen. He walked to the primary office, his boots clicking with rhythmic finality against the polished concrete. Director Sarah did not look up when he entered. She was reviewing a budget report on a holographic display. "I have an anomaly in 74 Alpha," David said. His voice clipped. "An artifact is missing." Sarah sighed, a sound that carried the weariness of an administrator who prioritized efficiency over technical curiosity. She finally met his gaze, her expression unreadable. "David, check your calibration. The sensors in that sector were serviced only last week. It is a glitch, nothing more. Label it as a system error and move on to the evening inventory." "I have verified the calibration twice," David replied, his status as a senior archivist granting him the privilege of persistence. "There is no glitch. The pedestal is empty." "It is a glitch," Sarah repeated, her voice dropping into a tone that was less a request and more a dismissal. "Do not waste my time or your own on phantom disappearances. Close the file." David stepped out into the hallway, his jaw tight. He did not return to the inventory logs. Instead, he made his way toward the main ventilation junction, where the air always felt a fraction colder. Near the heavy, soundproofed door of the maintenance wing, he paused, hidden in the shadow of a pillar. Two maintenance workers were leaning against a supply crate, their voices low and sharp against the backdrop of the facility's constant vibration. "Did you feel that in the lower pipe network?" one asked, rubbing his arms. "It is freezing down there today. I told the lead engineer it would not hold the pressure, but he just keeps cranking the intake flow." "Let it freeze," the other muttered. "As long as the noise keeps the sensors busy, we do not have to worry about what is rattling around inside the walls." David waited until their footsteps faded into the distance before moving forward. He did not know what they meant by rattling, but he knew the ventilation system was not merely circulating air. He retreated to his terminal, his mind discarding the director's orders. He pulled up the raw frequency analysis for the ventilation hum, bypassing the standard security filters. As the data populated the screen, his breath hitched. The graph was not a clean wave. It was a jagged, chaotic pattern of interference, rhythmically pulsing in time with the very sensors that Sarah had insisted were flawless. The system was not failing. It was being blinded. The raw data scrolled across the monitor in a rhythmic, oscillating pattern that defied David's understanding of atmospheric stability. He focused on the subsector logs, his pulse quickening as he traced the pressure differential. Through the digital haze of the readout, he saw the manual override commands linked to a single terminal in the maintenance wing. He realized then that the archive was not protecting history, but containing something volatile. Within a series of rapid, modulated pulses, the system created a localized pressure vacuum, a physical mechanism capable of shifting a lightweight object through a hidden bypass valve integrated into the wall structure of the vault. He stood up, his chair scraping against the concrete, and moved with deliberate speed toward the engineering hub. He found Marcus hunched over a terminal, his fingers dancing across the keys with a frantic energy that felt entirely out of place in the silent subterranean facility. Marcus froze when he saw David, his shoulders hunching defensively. "Move away from the console," David said, his voice steady, but carrying the weight of an ultimatum. Marcus did not move. He glanced at the blinking cursor, his hand hovering over the delete function. "You do not understand the parameters of the site," Davis says to Stassen. "Some logs are better off purged for the sake of the facility's continued operation." David reached the console in three long strides, his hand firmly gripping the edge of the glass display. "The logs are the only evidence that the archive is being compromised," he stated, his eyes locking onto Marcus. "If you delete them, you are complicit in the theft of these assets." Marcus swiped at the air, his face pale. "It is not theft. It is relocation. The pressure in the lower levels is rising, and if we do not release the excess load, the entire structural integrity of the vault will fail. We are not just holding art, David. We are holding back things that were never meant to be stored in a museum." David felt the floor vibrate beneath his feet, a low, rhythmic thrumming that seemed to emanate from the very bedrock. He realized then that the cooling systems were not calibrated for preservation. They were calibrated for suppression. The artifacts were not merely items of historical value. They were manifestations of energy, or perhaps something even more volatile, requiring a constant, crushing atmospheric pressure to keep them dormant. He pushed past Marcus, his fingers flying across the override command. He locked the subsector access, preventing any further data modification. As the console flashed a series of red warnings, David opened the primary network gateway. He did not go to the director. He knew Sarah would only bury the truth again, prioritizing the archive's reputation over the safety of the world above. Instead, he initiated a broadcast to the external oversight board, a dormant connection he had only ever seen referenced in theory. He attached the frequency logs, the ventilation schematics, and the list of anomalous artifacts that had been removed from the registry over the past decade.
"What are you doing?"
Marcus whispered, his voice trembling. "Do you have any idea what happens if the containment field drops?"
"I am doing what an archivist is supposed to do," David replied, his gaze fixed on the transmission status bar. "I am documenting the reality of this place." The progress bar hit 100%. Outside in the hallway, the emergency lights began to pulse, a harsh crimson strobe that turned the sterile white walls into a frantic nightmare of shadows. A heavy, resonant boom echoed from the lower levels, as if a door that had been sealed for centuries had finally been forced ajar. Director Sarah appeared at the doorway, her usual composure fractured, her hair disheveled. "David, stop the transmission. You are dismantling the most secure facility in the world, and you have no idea what you have unleashed."
"I know exactly what I have done," David said, turning to face her. "I have verified the truth."
The facility's main power grid groaned and died, plunging the archive into an absolute, suffocating darkness. Silence returned, heavier than before, but it was no longer the silence of order. It was the silence of a structure that had outlived its purpose. David walked out into the lobby, the cold air from the lower levels rushing past him, carrying the metallic scent of ozone and ancient dust. He stood in the center of the vast, empty hall, listening to the sound of heavy vault doors cycling open one by one. His professional identity, his orderly life, and his belief in the perfection of the archives had been dismantled in a single night. He was the only one who truly understood why the vault had been sealed, and as the sirens began to wail in the distance, he took a breath of the cooling, subterranean air and stepped out into the dark. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.